Like, how do you do that? I'm an American burger boy, and I've had burgers all across this country. And one El Salvador burger.
Like, I'm moving there.
How long do you think it's going to take for the rest of the free-thinking people of the world to see what's going on in El Salvador and realize, like, this is the next shining city on the hill? It's not America no more. It's El Salvador is the place to be.
You traded the grind for the salt and the sun. Packed up your life when the bull run begun. Feet chains broken, no looking back now. Touchdown in Zante made freedom your vow. Stack. Black sheep wandering, ain't never going back. Laser eyes burning through the lies they sold. Stacking them sats in the tropical gold. Oh, black sheep of Bitcoin Beach. Riding the waves where the free souls reach. Slippers on sand, Bitcoin shorts in the breeze. Gap tooth grin at the whole world sees. From lightsaber duels to horseback trails. Volcano shadows and sunset.
Welcome back. Today I have Bring Facts with me. He goes by OG Bring Facts on Twitter. He is freshly back from El Salvador, and we get to hear all about his amazing trip, what he did out there, why he went out there, and how he's feeling now that he's back. So it's going to be really nice hearing about it. And thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And my voice, like we were just talking about, my voice is kind of gone, but I'll do my best to push through on it. But the experience was life-changing, literally life-changing. I went there on the fence about whether or not El Salvador was somewhere I wanted to move. And when I come back, even before I came back, like in the midst of the trip, I basically had a breakdown and realized, like, I'm doing this and I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to end up behind the curb, because I feel like so many times that's what my life has been, is that, you know, I'm a late bloomer to the show. And El Salvador it's blowing up now. There's a lot of work that's happening. Like, you know, they just turned around from the most dangerous country in the world to one of the safest, if not the safest, in the world. And so there's a lot of infrastructure that is being taken care of in a fast manner. I mean, super fast manner. All you see is work happening everywhere throughout the city, not even like the little, whatever you call them, villages or street side towns that exist out there. They're doing a lot of work.
Yeah, and I think I saw you post, I saw your videos about walking around the city at night, showing how peaceful it looks and showing the work that's being done. And there's actually construction workers out there doing work. And, you know, you mentioned something about here in the U.S., you see miles and miles of roads.
Especially in Illinois. You know all about
it. Yes, yes.
You drive like north to south Illinois, you're going to go through like 100 miles of cones and maybe see five workers.
Yeah.
Actually, like, this much construction zone, but it's just made to be a speed trap so the cops can rob you for that double penalty in your supposed work zone. But what work are you doing? You're working money out of the people's pockets.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, does this even need to be done? Like, they're just tearing them up for fun. You know, it's like, and it's, again, it's not one section they close off. It's for miles and then
miles and miles and miles. And then they're not working on all that, though. There's just this little area that they work on.
Yeah, you see constant construction, but barely change. Like, all it takes years to see the actual like finished highway or whatever they built. But yeah, out there you were showing they're doing stuff. They're constantly building,
changing rapidly. Like JV, the podcast that I watch, me and him basically were hanging out through most of this trip, and he had gone to the first Max and Stacy Invitational, so he's already seen the country. And he was telling me, like, wow, like, this wasn't like this just a year ago. There's so much that's changed in a year. And that's what happens when you have a country that is going this direction instead of this direction. And I firmly recognize, like, seeing is believing. I'm from the show me state. You show me and I can put two and two together. You tell me, how do I know whether it's not state-run propaganda. Like, of course, Nayib Bukele wants everybody to think his country is safe, so of course he's going to tell you it's safe. But until I see it, how do I know he's not full of shit? I got to see it. Like I said, I'm from the show me state. Show me, and then I believe. And I went there and immediately, like, walking around with JV in the middle of the night, the first night, we was like from midnight to almost 2 o'clock in the morning, just walking main streets, back alleyways, just checking things out. And the biggest tell for me was, you know, I'm always used to watching over my shoulder, being nervous, like, is someone going to sneak up behind me, this, that, the other, like you do in American cities, of course. Like, you're stupid if you don't watch your back. And when it came to that, there was a woman that came running down the street. And who's she running from? She's not running from anybody. She got yoga pants on and she's running for exercise in the middle of the night and don't have a buddy system. There's no boyfriend with her. There's not a group of women. It's her by herself. Now, that's a tell. If you go to Washington, D.C., you know, San Salvador, Washington, D.C., capital of country, capital of country. Go to Washington, D.C. in your little cute jogging shorts by yourself and you already know what happens.
Yeah.
It's not even rocket science what happens. You know what you're playing American roulette.
I'm a female myself, so I know what it's like. And I don't consider myself a scared person. I live in Chicago. You know, people hear Chicago, they think bullets whizzing past your head, you know. But it's like, I do live in Chicago, but I don't just go out by myself to city streets and walk around for, you know,
right,
for fun.
And
you know
the danger's there, even though obviously it hasn't happened. You're not dead. You didn't get shot or anything, but like it's there. You don't do dumb things in the middle of the night, which a dumb thing is what? Enjoying your country? It's
beautiful
out.
I mean, even in Chicago,
so you can't go for a run.
Yeah, there's actually, I even hear in the city that there's not just females, but like younger men that go missing. And I'm like, is there a serial killer in Chicago? I don't know. But it's like you hear all this crazy stuff. And so while you were out there, you didn't see anything. But do people talk about, like, does anyone mention it? Like, was this downtown El Salvador that you were walking around?
I made a purpose to get out of the city because obviously, you're in the tourist zone. Of course, they've got the tourist zone safe for you gringos that are coming and they're trying to pull wool over your eyes. I saw the whole country. I didn't just stay in San Salvador. I went to random places. I had a rental car, and I mean, Ubers are like $7 almost, like, to get not too far. But, you know, even if you are going far, 4-hour trip and you spend $30, big whoop-de-doo. But I got to see a lot of the countryside, and it is so beautiful out there. It is like paradise weather 24/7. Gets a little bit more humid the closer you get down, you know, out of the mountains and volcanoes down into the El Zante Beach area and down by the ocean and whatnot. But it's still not horrible, and it's like that year round. It's like it's right. One season paradise.
I love that. And El Zante, is that the area where Bitcoin Beach is?
That's El Zante is Bitcoin Beach. You're going to find the highest concentration of vendors that don't just accept Bitcoin. They prefer it. Like, some places you go in, you're like, hey, greenback. No, Bitcoiner, come back with some Bitcoin. We don't want the greenback. So.
Yeah, that's like a dream. I mean, honestly, I've been wanting to visit for a long time. And I mean, not for a long time. It's not like I've been in Bitcoin for many
years. It couldn't have been more than 5 years, because 5 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted to visit it. Now, that's the crazy thing is,
look at that.
It's not like it's been like this for long. As Nayib Bukele got in, he swept up the crime, and then he started Bitcoin and then investing back into the country, fixing things up and basically giving the people their country back. I mean, they were prisoners in their own country. They couldn't go outside. They couldn't, like, all these houses, they have like courtyards and stuff to protect. Oh, you don't just, how here in America, at least my area, there's not a lot of people behind courtyard houses where, you know, you got a 8-foot tall barricade around your property with razor wire across the top. And like before the sun goes down, you got to lock your metal gate in the front so that nobody can break in. And that's basically where they've been living, is in their little compounds. And now it's like you can come out of your compound and go walk the streets and you're not going to have someone, you know, harassing you, killing you, anything like that. Like it's super safe. You know, I went to rundown places. They're still not fixed up yet. You know, cobblestone/dirt trails and walking through at night. And I've never been here. I don't know anybody and I don't speak the language. So, but I'm middle of the night, you know, walk down. I was like, oh, dark alley. Oh, there's a dead end. In America, you start doing that type of stuff. You're going down dead end alleyways. You don't turn around and come back out because you basically put yourself into an ambush point. And I just kept going dark alley. And like when I finally do bump into someone, it's a mom with her child. Yeah. She don't seem scared. It's a woman by herself, you know, it's just everybody walking around with smiles on their faces and loving and living life now. And it's like, you don't see that in America anymore, especially
that's
like
a big tell right there.
Big tell.
Yeah. Ugh. I think just looking at people and seeing the energy, like you could feel the energy. You could see that people feel happy. I don't know. Go places around here and it just seems like people are hurting. I don't know. You could feel it.
I mean, if anybody followed me on X while I was there, I mean, I just could not get this off my face. And now that I'm here, I'm like,
now you know what it was like out there. I was going to ask you how it feels being back, because you were posting all these amazing pictures with, you know, everyone you were meeting. And it was one of those things that it was so real and, you know, genuine how you feel. You know, you weren't doing it to show off. You were just
nobody's paying me to do this. Like Max Kaiser didn't be like, hey, I need you to promote El Salvador. No. If I didn't like it, I'm the exact person who would have been like, hey guys, don't fuck with El Salvador. It is dangerous. It's scary. They don't use Bitcoin. It's all just a big sham. They're trying to steal your money. Don't mess with it. Like it's not. And nobody's paying me to say this. This is my words. I'm sure some people appreciate it and other people are like, don't tell them our secret. We don't want El Salvador to blow up, because then it's just going to become the next New York City. And it is going to. That was Max was on stage doing an Ask Me Anything at the end of I think day one, I believe, at El Encanto. So it was like the practice golf course day before the tournament. And I asked him, I said, how long do you think it's going to take for the rest of the free thinking people of the world to see what's going on in El Salvador and realize like this is the next shining city on the hill? It's not America no more. And it's not really Dubai. It's El Salvador is the place to be. Like if you want to do something, that's where it's at. And his answer to me was basically that any day now, the next Andy Warhol of El Salvador is going to come out and he is going to make it big and just put El Salvador on the map, at which point now here comes your mass migration. Everybody realizes and they try to get in on the action. And then from there, it's, as he put it, it's all lattes and yoga. And my response then at the event was, well, it's already happening. And my response now is like, I'm hoping that I'm already dead and buried in the ground in El Salvador whenever the Coco Max gets replaced by lattes and yoga, because that means here comes the liberals then. And I'm like, I don't want the liberal stuff, but like the strong men that are going to build that country up, because there's a lot of work to be done. And it's not like they're wanting, hey, come freeload here. It's come build here, mm-hmm. bring something to the table here. And if you got something that you can bring to the table, this is the place that is going to recognize this person's doing something. Praise them and give them the ability to do more, instead of in America, oh, the evil rich billionaires, they don't pay their fair share and they should just do more and do more and do more. And it's like, don't they provide you your jobs? And you want to demonize your ultimate boss. You think you can do it better. Well, guess what? I'm a fan for this Atlas Shrugged book. I love Atlas Shrugged. When you demonize the people who have produced everything so much that they are sick of it, they are going to drop everything they're doing, stop being your benefit, and they are going to leave. And then, hey, you got an empty building that you thought you could run their business better than them? Have at it, because it's. I guarantee you it ends up a dilapidated building that zero people work at because the money left when you would not let them just live and be free.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The gist of Atlas Shrugged.
That's very true. I mean, people can just, especially with Bitcoin, it's,
you can just
freedom money. Yeah, you could just do that. You could just say, I'm out if you don't like the way that things are going where you currently live. And if you use Bitcoin, you can travel wherever you want. And El Salvador is a Bitcoin country. It's definitely an enticing place for people to want to go. And, you know, that whole thing with El Zante, and I just remember hearing a while back about the volcano, you know, mining Bitcoin with the volcano and just the whole Bitcoin beach thing. It looked like a dream that would be so far down the road, but it just doesn't seem like the way you said they're building and the way that 5 years ago you said this wouldn't have happened, but
no.
How much has changed in such a short time. It doesn't seem like it's this far off dream that, you know, Bitcoin makes things possible for people to actually see happen, not just within their lifetime, but within
short period of time.
Yeah, like within an epoch, you know, within a 4 year period, you see massive change.
Yeah, I mean, Bukele has not been in, but what, 4 or 5 years? Like, it's not been that long. So, it kind of gives me hope, because, like, America, if they pulled their head out their ass, they could rebound quickly, but I just don't see them taking steps towards that direction. They're not trying to fix the money. They just want to print more. They're not trying. I mean, they claim they're trying, but again, you know, as soon as I got back in America, landed in Miami, didn't like that. Land in St. Louis, there's a homeless guy sleeping in the parking garage. And then I get home, this is my house, my property. My mom was afraid to leave her keys in her Mercedes while I was giving her the souvenirs that I got while I was there. And it's like, one, it's my property. Two, it's only going to take 10 minutes. But she was scared that someone would, in my driveway, steal her Mercedes-Benz. So she had to go turn it off and lock it. This is no lie. When I got there, I had a rental car. And I'm in San Salvador for a majority of it. But I left my rental car unlocked the entire time I was there. I had my big suitcase in there. I had the souvenirs that I was buying in there, all in the back. What would happen in America? Well, you got an unlocked car with stuff in it. They're going to steal it. What happens in San Francisco? Even if it's unlocked, they'll break the window and steal it. Like, I was told that you could just leave your stuff unlocked. And I was like, okay, show me. It's true. It's true.
What do you think is the difference? Is it consequences?
Because very much.
Are?
Yes, because there were consequences. One, that were demonstrated for the people who didn't get locked up. If maybe they were shady, but they didn't get caught. They don't want to get caught. Like, they saw what happened to their illegal doing friends. Their gangbanger friends are locked up and they're not living the high life anymore. This is not their country anymore. They don't run the show anymore. You want to strong arm people in the streets. Oh, you want to have your vendor here? Give me 10% of your money every day or we'll kill you. Well, that don't happen no more. And those people are scared or locked up to do anything. It's literally when there's consequences for your actions, you don't. You know, F-A-F-O, you don't want to F-A, so therefore there is no F-O.
Right. And it just seems like that's such a simple solution, like that combined with the money that empowers people and shows, you know, actually that people can build and change and actually see positive growth in a community or a town or a city. But combined with just taking action and enforcing, I don't know, like, it seems like it was an easy thing. I'm sure it was not easy to do what was done. Building a bigger facility to house, or I don't know what you would call it, to keep.
Shove them in a can like a bunch of sardines that lost their rights to be a human.
I mean, that's the thing. But I think, didn't they build a larger facility to be able to,
because
I don't know if there was.
The CCOT. I believe they expanded it, but essentially though, because that was the first video, I posted several videos of me walking around, basically kept like repost with a different video, and people don't want to live in fear. And it's like, well, if you don't do anything wrong, there's not much reason to be afraid. So you just do good, like don't steal from people, don't kill people, obviously, but like when there's consequences to your actions that aren't a reward, like here, you know, you got a homeless person, they don't want to be homeless, so they'll go do some petty theft knowing, hey, I'm just going to get a roof over my head and y'all going to feed me, and that's what I wanted anyways. Or all this other stuff where it's like, oh well, if I kill somebody, big whoop-de-doo, I'm gonna get served 5 years or sentenced 5 years, and I'll serve 2.5 and be out on good behavior, do it again, and they'll just give me the same thing again until I've killed like five people. Now you want to lock me up for life? Like, no, first time you should be throw the book away. You get a whole bunch of petty theft around here, you know, in San Francisco. Oh, well, it's not over $1,000. You're okay.
Yeah.
Over there is, I took this hat, this very hat. I risked George's hat. And I was at the El Presidente, which is right across the street from the Google Tower. And I took my hat off and I set it down on the steps of the Google Tower. And it's like got a shopping mall plaza in the bottom of it. And then the Google headquarters tower sticking up out of it. And so there's people just coming and going, coming and going, coming. And like, and I was like, show me. Took the hat, set it on the stairs, and walked away. And I'm sitting there across the street just smoking, hitting my vapor thing, and just watched for about a half hour. And not acting, you know, I'm not acting like I'm staring at it like, hey, that's mine or anything. I'm far enough away either way, but I'm waiting. Steal it. Somebody. Make it grow legs. In America, the first person walks by that likes it, boom, it's gone. It grew legs. Person after person after person after person. They might glance down, but they never once reached down for it, tried to, and nobody would step on it, and nobody would steal it. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They didn't care.
Yeah.
And in America, if anybody would be like, oh, that has at least $1 value, steal.
Yeah.
Gank, got it. It's mine.
True.
Everything grows legs out here. I work at a bar as bouncer DJ. People leave their cell phone, their vapes, their wallets on the bar all the time, and it's my job at least to try to catch it before it grows legs. And regardless, they grow legs regularly. And what can you do about it? Because the person gets caught. The cops a lot of times will be like, oh, well, it's a civil matter. You can sue them. Arrest the thief. No. There's no consequence. So
yeah.
People aren't afraid.
I hear that.
I mean, they're
that
afraid
the
because they're not afraid.
Yes. And again, shout out. Thank you for, you wore that hat. You said that was the only hat you brought out there.
The only one I brought out there. I ended up buying a couple more, but it's the main one that I was wearing and repping. And I even wrote a song called The Black Sheep of Bitcoin Beach. I just can't figure out how to get it off my computer onto the Webernet. It won't let me, but I was hoping to release that before I left.
Yeah, I can't wait. That'll be awesome. I definitely want to hear it, and we'll figure out a way to get it off. But yeah, you're wearing the hoodie, you're wearing the hat, you wore the hat. Oh, and there you could show off the hood.
That's about the dopest. I've never had a hoodie that's got the side.
Isn't that the coolest part about it? I love that. And I wish the picture on the website, so bitcoinblacksheep.com, but I wish the picture on the website would show someone wearing it, because that is the coolest thing too. I was like, we got to make it, or George was like, we got to make it big. You know, he designed all these things, the logo and all that. And George did have a question for you. He said, what was your favorite thing to eat in El Salvador? And he asked, did you taste a difference in the food quality compared to in the U.S.?
One thing, the pupusas are amazing, and that kind of ties into like cost of living. I had this conversation with somebody earlier, and it's like I bought a 1.3 liter, like that's about as long as my arm, bottle of water, and it was 48 cents, 0.48.
Yes.
I literally bought a bottle of water like this in the airport, and I paid $6. But before the airport, I stopped at a gas station, got a little bit bigger bottle of water, and it was still $5. 48 cents for water. The pupusas, you can get 3 for a dollar. And they're like they're Hot Pocket pizza things, right? Like they got cheese and meat on the inside, and then you can add your garnishments on top and turn it into a taco. And so 3 of those for a dollar. So that means if I were to slum it out there, I buy a property that's got 2 trees and a hammock, and then every day I can get up and walk the beach, have a bottle of water for 48 cents, and have 6 pupusas to last me the whole day, and I've not spent $3.
That's insane.
Can you do that in America?
No, you can't even buy like a Happy Meal for $3, you know, at McDonald's, and it's crap food.
It is crap food. But the best thing that I had, though, the last day I was there, it was just handed to me. I guess someone had got a burger and they didn't want it, but they handed me this burger, and it was through the Beef Initiative people with Texas Slim and whatnot. It was there.
You're saying about the burger, well, the best food you had?
The last day I was there, shout out to Club Cocal. The people there are amazing. They let me sleep in their hammock. That's the hammock I slept in. But
that's amazing. What a dream.
They had a farmer's market that was going on, all the vendors accepting Bitcoin, a lot of amazing people there. So I was just walking around talking and whatnot. And this lady walks up and is like, "Would you like a burger?" I said, "Yeah, sure." Hands it to me. And I know they were for sale, but she just gave me one. And it wasn't what I was expecting, because I've been to Guatemala and I tried eating the like American food day, French fries and burgers. Yay. I could not eat that burger in Guatemala because it was like all the grit and gristle, the tendon, chewy, crunchy stuff. That's the entire burger was that. And I was like, I don't want to be offensive, but I'm going to give this to the dog. They had a basset hound and I tried to give it to the dog, and the dog ate the bread and left the meat alone.
Oh my God.
That's again, a tell about Guatemala, but we're not talking about them. Mm-hmm. In El Salvador, the burger that I was handed, it was I believe it's called the Beef Initiative, Texas Slim. He's got that going. He's going to have a ranch that he's building out there, and he's going to breed an El Salvadorian strain, whatever you want to call it, type of cow. It'll be its own genetic line to El Salvador. So El Salvador will have an El Salvadoran cow. But the burger was so lean and at the same time juicy. Like normally you think you remove a lot of the fat and it's a dry burger. And like this was a lean but juicy, and just the taste of it, like you could tell it was grass-fed beef, and it was so good. The bun, I thought it was one of those pretzel buns, and normally those are kind of like chewier bread, but this was like angel food cake almost. Like it was so soft and fluffy and moist. The bread and the beef and the lettuce was so, everything about it was just best burger I've ever had, like hands down. Like how do you do that? Beat it. I'm an American burger boy, and I've had burgers all across this country, and one El Salvador burger, and I'm like, this is way better.
You're like, I'm moving there for the pupusas and the burger, especially got you. Was that the place that you posted? I think a few times you posted Club Coco. Is that what it's
Club
called?
Club Cocal, or Club Cocal, C-O-C-A-L. Guy named William runs the place, and he's just an amazing dude. Like I said, he hosted the last day, like after party, after the main event at El Encanto, the golf course resort where Max lives and whatnot. This Club Cocal is not in a major city, and it's basically a little beach village off the beaten trail. Like you're literally, drive main road highway away from the city and get into the nitty gritty of like, oh, this might be dangerous. I'm in not a major city, and I don't see a police officer on every corner anymore. And regardless, I left my car parked there in this dark alleyway. It's a little cobbled dirt road in between businesses. And I left my car there unlocked with a bunch of souvenirs, my suitcase at that time. So all my clothes, my passport, my wallet, I left it all just sitting there in my car. And again, I was like, screw it. I'm either, they're going to steal my stuff and they get my passport. I'm stuck here. I want to stay here. I don't want to leave. But sadly, they didn't steal my passport. Nobody touched anything at all. And like I said, I was walking up and down that road in America or any other country, a road like that, and I'm going to be like sketched out, watching over my shoulder. Like, there's dark alleyways where it's a big line of businesses, but then all of a sudden there's a gap in between them that's an alleyway that takes you back out to the ocean. And there's nothing to be afraid of. Like I said, I went on one of those walks. I posted the video. There was nobody out until I run across a woman, and she's just sitting there in a chair out in front of one of the businesses and nobody else with her. Like, that's a tell. That's a tell. People don't do that just to make one random gringo that might see it tell the world it's safe. It is safe. It is safe.
Oh. Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert, they had the invitational there. It was a golf invitational. You were invited.
Yep.
You were invited for your tattoo.
I have the one and only Bitty Titty. I also now have the not Svanholm infinity divided by 21 million. And I have... the halving equation.
Amazing.
In the other armpit, the halving formula.
Yes.
So I've now have three Bitcoin tattoos.
All three of those must have hurt.
Me and pain, that's the thing, is I'm used to pain. And that another realization of El Salvador is like, I don't have to be in fear and pain and whatnot. Like American life here, I'm not saying it hasn't been great, but it's been traumatizing. Like I've been through things that I wish nobody, not even my enemies, had would have to go through, because yeah, I've almost died several times in my life. It's no way to live. Like I'd rather live and enjoy life,
Well, that
be
breaks
free, be happy, instead of constantly being scared. And that's one thing I've also noticed. Like if you follow me on X, I'm kind of an attacky person. Like you say something I don't like, I attack you. You do something I don't like, I attack you. You know,
You're
and I
not really
run
an
my mouth.
attacker though on X. You're more of
A
like a
shit
truth.
talker.
You bring
Bring
facts,
facts.
and that's why that's your name, and you tell it like it is, you know, and you are not
Afraid to
an
say
attacker.
my truth.
Not afraid to say your truth, but it doesn't come off as an attack. It just sounds like you are venting about something you don't think is right, but you're not attacking anyone specifically. I feel. I think it's great. I love the way you speak truth, the way you bring facts, and I think it's something more people need to do. They can't be afraid of, you know, just being honest, you know, be seeing something wrong and just saying it like it is. I
Saying,
love that.
yeah.
And
No,
you,
but
oh,
go
but
ahead.
it makes me happy that you won this trip, you know, for your bitty titty tattoo. And Max saw it and he was like, you deserve to come here. You know, he, you know, that, and it makes me happy because you've been through things like many people have been through things here, but you've been through whatever you've been through. And to find Bitcoin and to find, I mean, what a gift already to have found pretty
A
much the
home, a
solution.
home.
Yeah, the solution to the
I've
problem.
never felt home here. I've never felt home here in America. I'm American first. I was born here, but my dad's Palestinian, full-blooded. He was born in Jericho. He's a Palestinian. It was 1961, and then so the war that turned it into Israel happened in 67. He was forced to be a refugee in Jordan, and then he graduated top of his class, so he came here as a student visa at first, but got his citizenship. So my dad has already known what it's like to flee for safety, because had he stayed at his home in Jericho, it got hit by a bombing run in the war in 67. He showed me his house. I went there when I was 12. It's a crater in the ground. It got hit by a bomb. He would have died. And then in Jordan, it's not much better. Like you're a refugee. They don't want you there, but you're there. And so he fled that and came to America for a better place to live and a safer place to live. Granted, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, it may have been that safe place to be, safer than where he was for sure. But like now here I am, I lived through the 9/11 era, and throughout high school, it's like, you know, I was born here, I'm country, but I had to prove myself now because I got people blaming me for what happened overseas. And I was like, no, I'm just as patriotic for this country as you are. I would go, but I tried to sign up, they wouldn't have me. I've had two major surgeries on my leg. I got health issues that there's like can't serve, but my brother served. So it's not like we're not a patriotic family, and we loved, I say loved, this country, but I don't love what it is now. The politicians are the most to blame for it. The people are a byproduct of the system that they're in, and it's like, what? It was such a culture shock, it's hard to explain.
It's also the because it's the politicians that are, you know, there's greed, there's crime, there's corruption, but then you have manipulation and incentives in media, and everything is just for ad money and for attention. And it's just
Right,
sick to
and
see how they've like
it creates
literally,
a dog eat dog world.
yeah, it's so much polarization that it's become unbearable to be around people that think that that's like they are so sure that they know, you know, when they're polarized like that because of politics and stuff, they are 100% sure that they are right and everyone else is insane.
Yeah,
But it's just you're
and
both fed like a Truman Show version of reality, and then you're attacking each
exactly. And
other.
so one big notice that I've gotten is like happy people don't really waste their time shit talking on other people, or you know, like happy people just do things and they're happy and they don't have to go out and attack other people, whether they're right or wrong. Who gives a shit? Live your life and be happy. If you're happy, I have no need to sit there and poo-poo on you and, oh, I'm better than you, or you're cringe, or I've had a lot of people, you know, because apparently I blew up while I was in El Salvador. I'm on Nayib Bukele's homepage. Like, if you were to go to the president's, and you'll see Bring Facts, he reposted a repost, and so I'm on the president's timeline. Like, that
you
is
surreal.
You were
hanging out with Max Kaiser. He's the president's, like, right-hand man, you know.
Yeah, but I still didn't think I'd get the time of day from the president. You know, and I mean, advocated so much for Trump. I voted for him 3 times. He never said a word about me to me, anything. And not that I'm like, oh, well, I needed that. But it's like, it's just surreal. Like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, you feel like that's what makes you feel like you're family. You're visiting a country and you're, you know, if you're on the homepage, like, I need to see that. We need to.
Right. Yeah. It's as far as I know, it was still his first post of yesterday, and it was still there.
Oh my gosh.
I'll just pull out my phone real quick and see if it's a current thing.
That is so special.
Nayib Bukele. That's the, where's my 7 million? There's Bring Facts on Bukele's page. Like,
oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's so crazy. I'm excited to announce my new website, BitcoinNova.store, for clothing, accessories, and even pieces with a QR code, so you can amplify the Bitcoin Nova signal and bring more people to the channel to learn about Bitcoin. You'll also find playlists from this channel and from the Hive Minded channel, the projects I support, including BitcoinBlackSheep.com, affiliate links, and everything Nova related, all in one place. And don't forget to check out IllinoisBitcoinCouncil.org. $50 in fiat or sats goes a long way to paint Illinois orange. The greater the nodes, the stronger the network.
Beyond crazy. Beyond
I mean,
crazy.
What? And then, you know, I don't even know. So what was it? What moment was it? Like, was there a moment, or was it right when you stepped into the country that you're like, already, I love it. But was there a moment that you thought this could be my future?
It was after Max answered my question, the first day of the golf tournament, but it was the practice day, and he did that ask me anything thing where I'd said, you know, when is the big mass migration going to happen here? And the way he worded it, like, there's going to be an Andy Warhol, a artist, a creator, the Johnny Hash. Both hash, because I smoke. If everybody knows me, knows I smoke, but I'll give it up. Like, I know it's not legal there, so I would gladly give up
okay,
that.
Yeah.
But also hash rate, but, and I sing Johnny Cash. So,
yeah.
But I just had this idea, like, El Salvador doesn't have an American country singer that sings El Salvador country music, and I could be that guy. I could be El Salvador's Johnny Hash.
Love that. That's, yeah, you already have this great, you know, the hash.
And if that don't work,
especially,
I got heating and air conditioning. I've got construction. I have knowledge. Like, they need people to teach people. They don't have a whole lot of skilled workers there. So that's what Nayib Bukele is doing. He's giving these people something, teaching a man to fish, and he will eat for a lifetime. Give a man the ability to make money with his hands the right way, and he won't do it the wrong way. And that's what they're doing. So I could go there, and I don't even have to go back to heating and air conditioning. I could teach people how to do it, and they need it. Obviously, it's year-round air conditioning. So I could teach people. I could go back to manual labor. I could go back to construction. I could be a music creator.
And even if you do anything that you choose to do, as long as you enjoy doing whatever that is that you find to do in this place, you can live off of $3 for food. You know what I mean? Like, you can live off of $45.
Right. And they don't have property tax. So if I buy a place and I don't have an income, if it's bought outright and I ain't got a mortgage, what do I have to worry about? The government's not going to steal my property if I'm down and out, because there's no property tax. And I was told also, because I was worried, like, what if they made that law, they can change that law. They have a law that law is locked at least for the next 20 years. So for at least the next 20 years, zero property tax.
Yeah. Like, and that's how it is. That's how it is in so many countries. I think the United States is different when it comes to that, because my family's from Greece and we have a lot of people from Italy, and there isn't property tax, or if there is, it's very, very little. It's like a tiny fraction of what it is here. So to, for them to have zero property tax, that's amazing, because that's amazing. Not like that everywhere. But that is how it should be, you know?
Right. And it's, you own something. What is ownership? It's mine. Well, if it's mine, why do I have to pay permission to keep it?
Yeah.
Just like in America, you driver's license, deer hunting license, fishing license, you name it, all these licenses and permits. Is you paying permission to be free? That's not free. That's not free. That's the blow smoke up my butt. Tell me I'm free. That's free. No.
Like, look at the older people here in the United States when they retire, or when they retire, when they're, you know, on Social Security, and they're, it's like you can't even with your Social Security income. Most people can't. Your check is going to the government. Like, they're giving you a check and it's going right back to
right back to them. Right. And then you still a lot of times have to figure out how to scrounge up more pennies. And a lot of that leads to illegal behavior sometime. Like, if someone is struggling and can't figure out any way, shape or form. And I mean, Max Nayib Bukele recently made a video about this, the drug dealers in El Salvador. But it's like, you know, it's easy to sell drugs, especially in an economy, in a country, when if things are bad, people want an escape, even if that escape is, well, I can't afford to leave this country, but I can afford to do some drugs that help me escape the reality of it for a little bit. Well, then you're going to have a drug epidemic.
Yeah.
You want to clean up the drug epidemic. You got to give people the ability, the means, the knowledge, and the freedom to do what they want. Because if you start clamping down when they already don't have anything, well, they're going to go to illegal means. Because that's typically more beneficial than, you know, legally putting your nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, but it also makes you think, like, all these illegal things that people do to survive, it's like the government just does the same. Like, it should be illegal what they're doing. When you think about, and like you said, when you purchase a property and you spend 30 years to pay off a mortgage and you paid it off and then you retire and now your check is going straight back to your taxes. Now you can't pay those taxes. You literally either end up homeless, you have to live with one of your kids, you know, or, you know, so
or your property of the state, the government's going to have to pay even more for you taking, you know, disability or whatever, it would pick up the difference. But it's all just a losing game. It's a losing game.
It is.
Game.
It's really just a terrible system, and it's really sad. So I think something's either got to give here. They have to do something. But I love that what you said is, one of the posts you made was like, you guys could keep fighting, I'm out, kind of thing. Like, you were just like, because that's all you, that's what you see.
That's all I've been doing my whole life. I've been fighting. I'm a DJ bouncer since like 2012 off and on. And when I'm not DJ bouncer, my friends owned it and the husband died. So it's kind of like, out of loyalty, respect to his widow, I've been continuing to help her out. And I don't want to be there. Like, I've broke up so many fights. I've been in so many fights. I put on this tough guy persona because I'm a tough guy. I have to be. Otherwise, I will get trampled over out here and I will lose my life. And I still, to this, like, I don't want to go back, but they need me. They called me back right before I left for El Salvador. Apparently, the guy that I had replace me, because you notice, anybody following, I was doing it heavily up until March, and then I kind of quit and started traveling the world. I got somebody to replace me. Well, he's not there no more, so they called me to come back, and it's like, I'm one of those guys, if you need me, I'm there. So I'm going back, but I don't want to. Like, I am worried, like, every time I go in there, I just want to play music. You know, that's the DJ, but then the bouncer part comes. You're playing music, someone gets drunk, starts fighting. You're the guy to go break it up. Oh, they got a knife. You got to stop them from stabbing people, too.
Yeah.
So
no, and it's like, okay, it's almost like, go back for a short time, maybe, or maybe stop trying to be that guy. The world will run without you. Like,
that's
I don't
exactly.
know.
Who is,
like,
John Galt?
They'll figure out a way. Maybe don't do it. I don't know. But, like, do what's best for you. You know, like, you could start caring about yourself.
I'm supposed to be just training someone again to replace me. And then just hopefully I've got someone here soon that wants to do the job that I do. And they realize they don't. But when they try to call me back again, hopefully then I'm in El Salvador so I can be like, sorry, I don't.
So what's your time? Like, how hard is it for you or for me or for somebody who wants to go live in El Salvador? Like, is it hard to get an El Salvador passport?
That's, I think, something for each person to individually figure out, because there's different ways you can go about it. You don't even have to necessarily get an El Salvadorian citizenship, as far as I know, because when I went there this time, I just went as a tourist, just visiting for vacation, and the customs, whatever, in my passport's good for 6 months.
Really?
6 months. So, like, I could literally kind of almost live there half the year and still not need to be a citizen. But
and then
I want
to
personally
have, like,
take it a step further. I'm on the fence. Like, do I get dual citizenship or do I renounce my U.S. citizenship altogether and become full Salvadoran? That's where I'm trying to figure out for myself personally what's best. And like I said, everybody else is different. You may not want to be a citizen at all. You may just want to come and visit and, hey, I could stay up to 6 months. Like, that's pretty damn cool. You don't have to be a citizen. You can stay for 6 months. You can Airbnb or even buy a property. You don't have to be a citizen to buy a property.
Well, I was going to ask that next. Okay, so you could just buy a property. You don't have to be a citizen.
You don't have to be a citizen to buy a property. And at that, it's one of those, it's blowing up, so the property values are exploding. I heard a story of a guy, he bought a whole, like, it's a cove around the ocean, and he bought one whole side of the cove, and there's, like, houses and whatnot in there, and I want to say he didn't pay anything over $100,000 for each of them. It was super, super low. Well, the other cove right across from them, a resort, a big, like, sky-rise resort is going to be built there, and they bought that. Well, the guy right across from them, his property value 10x'd overnight. Because this guy bought this for millions of dollars, and I bought this for chump change. Well, guess what? Millions outweighs my chump change, and there's going to be a resort there. Now my property is worth 10 times what it used to be overnight. And it's happening all across the country. It's happening
How
all across.
How big is
so
that,
like,
cove? Is that cove, like, miles, miles long?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, it's a big one, big enough that yachts and stuff could be pulling up in there at high tide, so it's going to be big.
That's, like, crazy.
And I'm
I
sure
remember
Grant
seeing
and Gary Cardone are going to start doing stuff out there for sure real soon. I can see that happening if they're not already. But it's blowing
so
up
you
though.
You have choices to make. You can do the whole, you know, become a full blown citizen. You could just travel back and forth. You know, so there's definitely ways that you can do it. And a lot of people, if they have family, one in the U.S. or in another country, you can fly back and forth and visit. You know, you can have a summer home type thing, you know, so it's like there's so many.
The longer you're going to be there, the more time you spend there, the less you're going to even want to visit back home.
I agree.
I don't consider this home anymore. This is too dangerous. I feel safe in my home. I should feel safe in my home. I have never felt safe here. So where is my home? There was not a minute where I didn't feel safe over there.
You slept.
And I was trying to put myself in dangerous situations.
The hammock.
Mm-hmm. I slept in a hammock.
Yeah, looking at the beach, right?
I couldn't per se see it. Like, it was on what I call compound. It's got like an 8 foot tall rock wall all the way around the yard. And their houses, quote unquote houses, they're just big enough for, like, to be a bedroom, little octagon shaped hut, whatever you want to call it, real fancy, you know, Caribbean style looking hut. And there's a bedroom there. And then on the other side of the courtyard, there's another one with a bedroom. And then there's, like, the little central area where you got your kitchen. And then there's another one that's got a bathroom, but a majority of it's wide open courtyard. You know, they got a swimming pool. Not everybody's got a swimming pool. Those cost money. They have, I forgot what they call the name of it, but, like, you go up these steps and it's like a gazebo type thing where you overlook the oceans wide open. And, but otherwise there's a gate in the back that opens up to the ocean and there's a gate in the front that opens up to the street. And back in the day when El Salvador was dangerous, they would lock those down before dark. When I was there, they left the front gate wide open. They left the back gate wide open. I got my car parked out front with my doors unlocked. That's safety. I slept in a hammock in their courtyard. And the guy thought I was crazy because I donated $121 worth of sats to stay there. But the thing was, is that he has this program where he helps women in El Salvador, young underage women who had a kid too young or they're trying to escape a dangerous situation, basically like Habitat for Humanity type thing here, or
that's amazing.
Women victims support thing. So I was like, so you telling me I'm going to help some women stay safe in El Salvador and you're going to give me a hammock? Deal. Take my sats.
That's beautiful. I mean, you could choose to go anywhere to sleep and then you do choose to support a great cause like that.
Yeah. I mean, and then I didn't even end up sleeping. I laid there all night and just thought, like, I have to leave the next day, and I don't want to leave, but I need to start making my plan to get out of America and come home, which is what it is.
Come home. Like, so when you went out there, I want to ask, because you also came out here for the meetup that we had mm-hmm. in Chicago. It was the, you know, Midwest Bitcoin meetup. We had it for the Bitcoin Army people and just anybody who wanted to join. And you came, and we hadn't met each other before. The vibe of being around Bitcoiners, it feels like you're friends forever. Like, it feels like right. you've known each other
finally,
for a long
time. Finally, long lost family, like, finally getting to meet each other. Like, I knew they were out there, but I just didn't get the face-to-face. And, yeah, that was very special, like, getting to meet you and George and getting to meet Michelle, getting to meet Cousin, and everybody else that showed up. Like, it was a very surreal, again, moment for me. Like, holy shit, they're actually more than an avatar.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a fun thing because you surprised us. You were there, you know, you just, I don't know, you're a lot like George, where you like surprises. I'm not good at keeping secrets. But it was just, it's surreal because you don't know how the future looks. Like, you came there, we met, and now you went to El Salvador and you probably felt the same. You know, I don't know how many people you knew going out there. Did you know many people?
Not really. I felt like a big dumb dummy because I'd go and I would talk to someone, have a good half hour conversation with someone, and then I'd have to pull out my phone and be like, okay, he told me his name, but I got to look up. Yeah. And then I find them on X and I'm like, this is somebody famous, at least X famous. They got millions of followers. And I just sat there and shot the shit with them like their average Joe. You know, I got to bump elbows with Max and Stacy. Like, there's some special people there, but ultimately they're just people. We're all just people. I mean, everybody eats, breathes, sleeps, shits, pisses the same as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the most part.
And everyone's just
through a tube.
But it just feels like you don't, I don't know, in this type of community and this type of, you know, the common principles that we have with Bitcoin and just finding truth, you know, and no corruption like there has been for so long. Like, we just feel like this connection. And I don't know how much people end up talking about Bitcoin when they join each other, but just knowing that you can go out to El Salvador, just like you did to Chicago, and just know people from online, or just know that you know nobody and you're just going to this event, you know, and you can feel like you're home. Like you just said, go back home, and just going there and just talking to all these people, you feel like, I don't know, like you go to other places where it's not a Bitcoin event and it's, you feel awkward, like the way you thought, you know what I mean? Like you just, you don't feel like you fit in, or I feel like that all the time, you know?
Yep, that's essentially why I will never go to a Bitcoin conference. Beforehand, it was, I worried about the $5 wrench attack or just the awkwardness, the, I don't know anybody. I never, you know, followed too deeply into the Bitcoin celebrities, and I wasn't on X until just last year, January. So I've only been on X for a year. So like the getting to know all the behind the scenes stuff, like I know who Adam Back is. I know Samson Mao. I know Max Kaiser. I know Nick Szabo and Laszlo, you know, all the true legendary OGs of like 09, 2010, 2011. But as for all these up and coming people, I don't know who you are and they don't know who I am. And I kind of liked it that way. But now I guess I'm splashing into the scene because I'm here, but I'm just me.
Yeah, you're splashing into, that's what it feels like. It feels like you went from watching to being part of it.
Being a part of it, yeah.
It feels like you go from using Bitcoin to becoming part of Bitcoin.
I am Satoshi. You are Satoshi. We are Satoshi. Not George. I don't know.
It's not George.
Now you're George, but the other guy. We are all George, right?
And, but it's like, it's amazing because you're just doing things and you're feeling like more part of the community when you do these things. Like people, I get people don't want to go, and you didn't want to go to meet people up, and you have this fear about it. But you know, doing this, look how much it changed you. Like going to meet with these people, going on this trip, and saying yes to this trip.
Absolutely changed my life in so many ways.
Yeah, people
I mean,
would.
From, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say people usually feel fear about trying new things or saying yes to something. But when you have, when it's like, when you find out about Bitcoin and you care about Bitcoin because it cures for you, because it's, you know what I mean? It's just this whole new thing that actually helps you in your life. You, I don't know, you're more open to new things, you know, and I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you that you went and you came here too.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's definitely surreal still, but I'm not going to be anything but me. I'm still, you know, well, I'm changing, that's for sure. I'm going to be trying to work on my own attitude about things, because like I said, I realize when you have people who are happy in their life, they don't go about trying to tear other people down. They just do their thing and maybe inspire other people to do their thing. And it's a tell. Again, it's another tell. Like, if you have to go about and you're attacking people and shitting on other people and what they're doing, you're not happy with your life, and you need to do something. Find your happiness. Like, I just kind of went off on somebody earlier, but I tried not to do my typical go off on them. And I was like, hey, man, you want to shit talk on me? Okay, fine. You're not happy with your life. Figure out why you're a miserable fuck. And I hope you find your happiness. Because I, like I said, I could not get the smile off of my face when I was in El Salvador. And yeah, I had like several situations where I had a lot of beautiful women surrounding me. And I mean, not just walking around, but like wanting to take pictures with me. Not every one of them was like, hey, I want to take a picture with you, bring facts. But like, there's a couple of them are like, you, come here. That scene where I'm sitting in the swimming pool with all those beautiful ladies at the swimming pool, they're the ones who took me there. They're like, you come here, you sit with us. Yes.
See how open, like, it's just like people are different. You know, they're not just, you know, people that you meet on X. They're just people that you're, where was this at the
Club Cocal?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's just like people that are friendly. They're like, hey, come join us. You know, it's like, just not like it is here, you know?
Right. Yeah. I've literally had the opposite effect here where I've tried to be friendly. I went to taxidermy school in Pennsylvania back in 2005, 2006. And I remember specifically, I was sitting in Walmart and I'm got my cart full of groceries. And the guy in front of me, he kept looking back at me and looking back at me and looking back. So I'm like, hi, how's it going? And his response was, fuck you.
What did I do?
You're staring at me. Turn around and mind your own business then. Quit looking back at me if it's a fuck you situation.
Right. But
that's America. American, they're broken.
I've been with my kids in the car trying to turn left while there's cars on the oncoming side. And I can't turn because there's many cars coming. And people flick you off with your kids in the car, driving past you. And our kid, like, it's, I've literally
done
nothing
guilty of it. We're all guilty of it, too, because we live in this rat wheel where we're all chasing the dollar, because we all have to chase the dollar because they're all melting in all of our hands. And so none of us ever have enough dollars. Doesn't matter if you do go out and make $1 million, you're 4 years and your purchasing power is a quarter of a million. So I better make 4 million. Well, now your purchasing power in 4 more years is going to drop you down. So everybody just has to be competitive, and that's dog eat dog, cutthroat,
stressed out,
not happy. Like, everything is just motherfucker this and motherfucker that. Trust me, I know it's me. Like, I'm going to fight being myself here in America because I'm not happy here. Uh-huh. That's why I'm always doing what I do, running my mouth and talking my shits, because I'm not fucking happy here. But yet over there is just such a,
just a
breath of fresh air to just like, take all that and just...
Well, you are making me think that me and George need to have a talk, because we were... First of all, it'd be awesome to, like, part-time live there one day and do something. You know, I don't know what would happen. It's hard. It's hard sometimes with the kids and everything. But once your family settles down, then it's even harder sometimes once they make roots and they have kids. And then, you know what I mean? So things get harder over time if you build more of a life in one spot. But trip-wise, you know, it'd be nice to take a trip there this summer. You know, it's like we always think about where we're going to go for vacation. Where would we want to take the kids? And, you know, they've got passports. We can go there. I think it's time. You know, you're making me want to make that decision. So
whatever El Salvadoran travel agency would like to hire me, I'm doing your job for free.
Right. I mean, you've already
But
got
then
one person.
again, they pretty much probably don't need a travel agent or a promoter, because it promotes itself. Like it
Yeah.
really does. It was so palpable. I kept trying. Like I said, I took this hat and I left it sitting on the Google steps, tempting people that are coming and going out in and out of the shopping mall. Like, steal this hat. It's got some shiny bling on it.
Yeah.
Steal this hat. Nobody took my hat.
But
Left
some
my.
people. Oh, what do you
I
have there?
here. I'll open this up here with you. It's in a safety case. It's from the Bitcoin hardware store, so I didn't have to pay a tariff on it because it's a Canadian company. I bought myself a cold card Q.
That's
I
amazing.
left this not in the. I put this for the airport because I was worried about the Americans in the airport stealing my stuff. So I had a tamper-evident bag in case they did. I bought this and I left it sitting around a swimming pool, and nobody stole it all day. Like literally at least 5 hours, and then I went and I picked up my stuff and I left this again with my cell phone and my wallet sitting next to a table at this event with thousands of people. People were walking right past my stuff.
So that's
Nobody
another
touched it.
evidence of the show me state. You're like, I'm going to test this out. I'm
I
going
am
to
going to test
see.
it. I gotta see. I gotta see. Like
That's
I was willing to
amazing.
go all the way. I could have been shot, stabbed, kidnapped, robbed. All these bad things that I set myself up for, like a dumb tourist. I'm walking down the street with my phone, just sit, like,
But see, and
do
if
that
you
in
believe,
Chicago, do
if
that in
you,
New York City. You're
right,
getting mugged.
and if you believed what you hear, about El Salvador on TV, like about how, I mean, they don't really talk about it much now, but you just, there's a fear. There's a fear
Fear,
that people say,
yeah.
don't, oh, you shouldn't go there. Or people hear it, they haven't, no, they don't know what's been happening recently with Bitcoin and with
Right.
Bukele and what's been happening. So they have
It's
this like,
happened so fast, it's kind of hard to keep up, right?
yeah, so
Like,
people don't know. And all you hear is, oh, it's, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go there. But because you had this invitation, Max, you know him from Bitcoin, you know what he's about, you know that he's living there with his wife, you know things. So you did it, but most people probably wouldn't even, think to go, So it's like, how many people probably just have the wrong idea, don't realize what's going on, don't know the changes that are
Right.
happening, don't know that a
Right.
hotel just bought, a whole side of that cove. There's just so much. I mean, and I'm just very excited, and I think that, I'm just amazed that more people haven't followed in El Salvador steps as far as adopting Bitcoin. And, it starts with the money. I feel like cleaning up the money. And then it's not like you're in a country as well. Like when you think about communism and you think about China or you think about places where, you're stripped of freedoms, but it's not like, it's like for the people that commit a crime. And then for everyone else, you're using freedom money. You have the freedom to use it as you choose. You're not having to pay property. There's just so much that's not, when you have freedom money as your base layer
Right.
of
And it's
society.
not 100% Bitcoin. Like, there are places where they will not accept Bitcoin, so it's not like a universal, but there are specific circular economies where that's what they prefer. Like, they would rather have the Bitcoin and they don't want to mess with the greenback.
Well, and
So
even if
it
most
is hit
people,
and miss, but
right, but
it's
most
going to
people don't.
spread.
Yeah, and they don't travel with cash anyway. Most people, a lot of people don't travel with cash because then you have to do conversions or whatever. So if you're paying on a credit card, you're still paying $3 for your pupusas or whatever
Right. I'm
for
going
the
to grab
day.
something real quick. Everywhere I go, I like to have the currency of that country that I go to. So I picked this up at the ancient ruins of Tazimal. That's a picture of the pyramid thing that we got to walk around. But then it has all the old El Salvadoran money, the $1 bill, the $2 bill, their $5 bill, their $10 bill. There's a 25, a 50, a 100, and a 200. And these are all real bills. And I'll put on these plaques and shellacquered and put together real nice and fancy. $15 for, there's 200. I mean, that's what inflation, hyperinflation does to you. That's why they use the greenback, is because they hyperinflated theirs into nothingness. And we're foolish if we think that this can't happen to us. It
Yes.
happens to every country that uses fiat. Every country that uses fiat.
Right. That is so such a great visual for people to see. because that case costs money. You know what I mean? It's not just the bills. Probably the money is completely worthless, but the case is what costs.
Right. It's on wood plaques, and it was shellacquered. So that's still even I could not make that in America for $15.
Right.
Like the just wood, the rings, yeah. The shellacquer. That's you're already shellacquer. You're over $15 there. The gloss coat, whatever. So. Yeah, it just tells you, one, their cost of living is way lower and they can get stuff cheaper than we can, and two, their money ain't worth shit. Their money ain't.
That's incredible. That's why they use
Bitcoin and even greenback.
Yeah, people think that they're safe in the U.S., but if anything, the U.S. is kind of the bully of the world and might be the last to go down, but it still goes down. You know, it's like it's not gonna...
I don't even see it as being safe. Like when I got here, land in St. Louis, there's a homeless guy sleeping right outside the airport that the cops are yelling at him to get out of there. Like that don't make me feel safe. And then get to my house, I got souvenirs to give my mom. And she's like, oh, I was just going to say bye and go because I don't want to leave my Mercedes-Benz running in the car because someone or running in the driveway because someone might steal it. And it's like, there's another tell, like, holy shit, yeah. You know, even in my own property, someone might steal my car or my mom's car that's running out in my driveway. So she's got to shut it off and lock it up. Whereas I just got done with El Salvador, left my car with belongings in the back completely unlocked and it was completely untouched. And I had no worries. I was, you know, testing them, like, steal it, go for it. But I had no worries. And then they proved me right. Like, nobody touched my stuff. Nobody broke into my car anywhere I left it parked. Nothing went missing. The stuff that I intentionally left laying around, like, steal it. It's a hat sitting on some stairs by a shopping mall. Steal it. They don't want to risk going to prison for 5 years because then the guy that dropped his hat comes running out and says, hey, man, that's mine. You're stealing. 5 years in prison. Why would you risk that? You wouldn't. Don't
is
mess
that
with
what
other
it
people's
is,
shit.
5 years?
Yeah, I believe so. Wow. For theft is 5 years.
You know, that's just crazy. I mean, just to think that why, I don't know, there's so many questions on why it is like it is here. You know, why isn't there?
I don't know. I got a theory on it. I actually went there with a bunch of $2 bills. And if you know, the $2 bill has the signing of the Declaration of Independence as the artwork on the back of the bill. And so I went with a bunch of those to give as tips and whatnot to the people and just spending shopping. So I took a bunch of $2 bills and I was telling the El Salvadorans, at least if they could understand English, like, this is real currency. It's real greenback. Cause they're like, I don't know what that is. It's two. Trust me. I'm not trying to scam you. And it's a tip anyways. Like for the most part, I wasn't trying to buy much with them, but I'd tell them like, this is what made America great. And it's also what we forgot and why we are no longer the great nation that we used to be is we forgot what they put in that. The Constitution is not what we are under right now. We do not follow and abide by the Constitution. We don't. America is a pseudo-America. It's not real.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff that they teach you in school to be patriotic for in the land of the free because of the brave and this, that, like, they sold you out to a central bank in 1913, and they've been selling you a line of shit ever since to make you believe it's the same. While the bankers run the show and they fucking hate you and they want to run you into the ground slowly then suddenly through inflation, and it's happening and it's working. And that is why America is make America great again. What happened? Federal Reserve Act of 1913 happened. The de-dollarizing gold in 1971 happened. The banning ownership of gold and said, well, come steal your gold happened. All these things to prove to you. Your country is not your country. They don't represent me. They don't represent you. And they don't fucking care about you. They don't. And
they
so
really
why
don't.
Do you pay them? Why do we pay taxes if they're, you know, 200 miles of road cones for 5 feet of road construction? What good does it do? Oh, so we can rob you by the cops, double fines. Like, all this stuff is just built against you. And then they have the nerve, the audacity to come and say, we need to raise taxes for this new thing.
Yeah,
what are you doing with
that.
All the fraud? Go tax your fraudsters. Raise the taxes on fraud.
Right. Yeah, I think it's hilarious that, you know, counterfeiting money is a crime. So if somebody were to counterfeit money.
Because they don't want to have a monopoly on counterfeiting.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a monopoly on counterfeiting. So they're allowed to do it. Only it's because, you know, because they're the ones doing it. That's it. They're doing the same
fiat,
thing.
So by decree. by decrees, all that's what fiat means is because we said so. Well, America, the solution to your money problem is to stop believing in the because we said so. You're going to have to let your dollar as it is now die. And that's going to hurt a lot of people because it's a system, it's an economy, it's the world reserve currency, and it's what's been running and bullying and, you know, what backs the U.S. dollar? Guns. Yeah. A lot of guns. A lot of guns is what backs the U.S. dollar.
Yes. And that's why I think it's crazy, because that's why, I don't know, it's like, instead of blood diamonds, it's blood money. You know, they don't care how many people die as long as they can print more to fund a war. And, you know, I like listening to Jack Mahler's Mailbag Monday show, but I just thought it was so funny when he was talking about, you were talking about the Federal Reserve, and he's like, Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, is making hostage videos now. You know, that's how he started it off. It was so funny because he was complaining about he's being attacked now, which, you know, both parties are guilty.
He's picking on me like, got so used to lying. You never thought someone would call you out on your bullshit.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. You lied. Like, we can prove that you lied.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? They're going to slap him on the wrist. That money that he stole is probably already embezzled and gone anyways. Will he ever serve any prison sentence? Or, in my opinion, there's a rope that awaits people like that. He's not going to dangle. He's not going to dangle. And all these other people that have been lying and frauding and cheating and just continue, they're going to ask for more votes so they can get more money, so they can ask for more votes so they can get more money. What are they actually going to do to fix any of the problems? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. They're part of the problem, and their job is to make the problems worse.
I love it. Yeah, I think that that's the thing. He thinks I'm trying to keep prices stable and bring down inflation, but you've been keeping interest rates high for so long, it's killing people. But this system cannot be fixed. It's freaking broken. You cannot fix it by
fiat.
You can't save it. You can't. He thinks he's helping by keeping interest rates high because we can't bring it down. It's screwed up. Either way you lose, people are hurting no matter what. You've already destroyed it. You know, there's no fixing it now because you keep interest rates high. People are still hurting and people are suffering. And it's like nobody's fault. It's the fault of the Federal Reserve being created in the first place. No, it's not his specific fault. It's not one president or the other. They're all guilty.
I mean, I could put a family name at fault behind it. Starts with an R, but I won't get you shadow banned.
That's the thing. I said we should come up with a codex, you know, because there are certain episodes that I feel get suppressed. And I think
the rat bards.
Yeah, have like a little key on the side where people could, you know, we said we were talking about one thing and we're like, let's just use the word Labubu every time we're mentioning that, you know. So we can
Labubu family.
Yes. Yeah, keep this episode up. But either way, yeah, it's nice to speak truth. It's nice to bring some facts to people. And I appreciate you for always doing that and for finding home. You know, it gives me chills. It makes me want to go there. It makes me want to.
I'm not one that cries much at all, really. Like, I was trying to save my grandpa's life when he passed away. He died in my hands, and I didn't cry. I felt the pain, but no tears came down my face. And I've learned, like, my daughter is my key to my tears. She's the one thing that makes me cry. Because after I asked Max the question and he said there's going to be, you know, the next Andy Warhol is going to show up in El Salvador and make their imprint and then everybody else is going to swarm. And then it's New York in the 1960s. It's just downhill from there, basically. It's going to be lattes and yoga and liberals and da-da-da is going to eventually come because it's a loop. What we're doing is a loop. Like, America had its strong men create good times create weak men. A 2026 weak men create hard times, and then you're going to end up with strong men. And ultimately, I've been a strong man in the age of weak men. I've been fighting in the age of weak men, and I'm tired of fighting, so I'm done with it. I'm going to step out of the fight that I know is coming, which is the fight that creates the strong men. This country is going to go through some bad shit. And I hate to say that, but I'm almost like 90,000%. Like, I want to get out of here before it gets too bad. And I want to go be a strong man somewhere that I will benefit from it.
Yes. And it's like you're doing that thing where you're protecting your peace. You're done fighting. You know, people fight for a long time and they just decide, to just turn around and walk away. They don't have to be part of it. And that is literally what you wear a lot of times too on your on X, and you show that your support for Bitcoin companies, which is Fugum, and you say that it's the black sheep mentality. You're happy being a black sheep, but you found your home. And that is amazing. I mean, how many of us feel always like the black sheep, but we feel like you can go somewhere where you feel like it's normal to be that, but you know, we've gotten so used to being different and it's fine. We're okay with it. But just to be able to turn around and leave, you know, Bitcoin gives you the option to do that. El Salvador is embracing
money.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've been a country boy patriot defending this nation from every angle that I could. Like, I voted for Trump 3 times, and it's still better than Kamala, still in my opinion, but you're lesser of two evils every single time. Yeah. Nobody wins when you have to choose evil. Evil is evil. Lesser of two evils is still evil. And like, you want anybody who's still Trump, okay? Trump coin, Melania coin, 2 shit coins the day before he gets inaugurated as president. The people, his people bought those. His people who support him bought those, and he rug pulled them.
Right.
Fucking scammer.
Fucking believe that.
Fucking scammer. I don't support him anymore.
I couldn't.
I can't. Like, I can't be an honest person and be like, yeah, I'm okay with that.
It's like,
oh, he actually does end up on that list. But yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, I can't.
Right.
I can't. No.
Right. Yeah, and people still will defend to no end, you know, no matter what. Oh, you're being manipulated, always. But when it comes to this Trump coin and Melania coin, you're right. The people that bought it were people that supported him or thought that, oh, this is going to get me rich. And then all he did was teach his supporters that Bitcoin is like those things, that Bitcoin is like the rest. Don't trust them. Like, oh, I might get rug pulled again by getting crypto. You know, he didn't teach people shit about Bitcoin. He's supposed to be the first Bitcoin president, you know, but all he did was kind of convince an entire group of people that
it's a scam.
I just made some money off of this shit. Yeah, and it's a scam.
It's a scam.
Yeah. So that really pissed me off too about that.
That really made it harder for us, the true Bitcoiners, because now we have to teach those people that got their ass handed to them. Like, sorry, but you was an idiot and you fucked with shit coins. Shit coins are all scams, all centralized, all have a corporation company behind them. And that job of a corporation company is to make money. And if they can make money by ripping off their followers or supporters being idiots to buy their shit, hey, it's free money. There
but
is
people
no.
People will still defend him and say, you know, oh, he did it. He made his money where he wanted to. People lost a little bit, but it was just like, oh, our donation to Trump. Like, we each bought $100. Who cares? You know, it's like nobody cares. They're just happy to support him no matter what. And all they think, they don't, even if you try to talk to them about Bitcoin, they're just already brainwashed into this mentality. It's so crazy.
I look at it like Noah's Ark, and Bitcoin is the ability to build your own ark. And just like with the story of Noah's Ark, is not everybody was meant to be saved. The flood happened and the intention was not to save everybody on the planet and save everything. The intention was to wash away the evil. There's going to be people that don't get on that boat, and that's fine. They were meant to get washed away.
And it's like we try.
Reality, but it's what it is.
It's like there's only so much you can do. So every time we do these things, every time we talk or we share, we think we're going to reach somebody. It's like you do it because you hope that somebody can get in, you know, before the flood comes, you know, you hope so. But as much as you can't make them do it, you know, they have to open their own door, do their own understanding of this and figure out what's really going on. But that's why, you know, just finding out that you could just leave and go somewhere where you could be happy and not have fear about
Freedom that Bitcoin gives you. Like when I went through customs and the customs lady asked me, do you have anything over $10,000 that you need to claim? And I almost fucked up my poker face because I was like, no.
But, really?
I mean, I did, but I didn't. But I don't have to say yes.
Yeah, when you're talking about, you know, people that start companies and when they start getting messed with, you know, they could just leave. Like that's the type of thing that Bitcoin offers. You can just sell everything. You can sell your socks. You can just put everything into Bitcoin and leave with, you know, I love the idea of thinking of it you know, as long as you have your seed phrase in your mind, doesn't matter. You could just leave with your brain, you know, and you could have all of your wealth and go wherever the hell you want. So it's just something that, you know, we're lucky to have found, you know? So it's just like, I'm just glad that you found El Salvador to be.
Maybe lucky to have found, or maybe preordained. To me, Bitcoin has evolved from this digital technology thing to, it's a spiritual thing for me.
Yeah.
Like, I used to joke about it, but maybe it's too blasphemous for some, but what if the second coming of Christ was Satoshi releasing Bitcoin? Says, hey, I came to save your soul the first time I came. Now I'm here to save your ass, because they're fucking killing your body with money, your physical body. So I saved your soul already, but now I'm going to save your physical body so that you can go enjoy life physically and have the God money to go do that.
I have a crazy, I mean, I don't think, I never think anyone's crazy for saying anything on this show. I've said it before. People usually think I'll think they're nuts, but I don't. And I like when people bring that up, because I have, like, my idea is, you know, when you think about that, like the revelation, like the flood or some kind of catastrophic thing, you know, you think of in the Bible when it says, you know, he will come at the right hand of God or something. I don't know exactly. I'm not like a super Bible person, you know, but when you think of, I think of God, I think of math, you know, and design and the pattern of the universe. I think of, you know, God being just like the ultimate design. And then, you know, we are all creators of our own destiny. You know, we are all creators, you know, so when you're in God's image, you are also, you can create your life with your energy, with your happiness, your sadness. You can forge that path based on your, so we are like him or she or whatever, the creator of this universe, which is found in nature, it's found in space, this pattern. So when you think of pattern and math, and you think of he will come at the right hand of math, you know, and it's like come in the clouds. When you think the term come in the clouds, it doesn't mean nothing in the Bible was literal. It was all like parables, you know. So when you think in the clouds, you think of the cloud, like, you know, the cloud of the internet.
The internet, right.
So sometimes I think it's like a parable for predicting some futuristic thing because you didn't have the words to describe what it was.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's very interesting to think, because like I said, the first coming of Christ, the Jews don't think it happened yet, but Jesus was the Christ, and therefore we're expecting the second coming of Christ, and nobody knows when it'll come. The revelation's supposed to happen, and then again, like you said, it was coming to take our bodies or save our bodies was supposed to have been the second coming. Like, you know, as you said, up in the clouds, gonna come and take the rapture, all the people who were good get pulled into the clouds. Maybe yeah. That's, you got Bitcoin before the next flood, and he's promised with the rainbow, God will not flood the earth with water to cleanse us next time. What's he gonna cleanse us with, a flood of dollars? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
because it's gonna, the dollar is gonna destroy everybody who touches it. Everybody who's holding on to it, when that day comes and you're holding on to, this is where all my wealth is in the dollar, you got washed away in that flood.
Part of me thinks, like, I obviously am like a believer in, I mean, not obviously, but I am a believer in like a heaven, you know, but I also think that I'm open to a million ideas. Like, I like to be curious and always question what could anything mean and what connections can I make? So I like to think about the part where you said getting new bodies, like in that part of the Bible, they talk about people having this new body being different. So again, it's sort of like the people who get on this ark are able to preserve possibly their consciousness in this cloud or digital place where you'll never be gone. You know what I mean? Like you actually, your energy won't, you can actually, I don't know, who knows what it means, but
if
I just,
you've
think
made
like
a transaction on the blockchain, which I made several of them in El Salvador, but even before that, you're purchasing Bitcoin, you move it to a hard wallet, you've made a signature on a blockchain that will outlive you. So
yeah,
you very much put your name in the book of life, because I believe the blockchain is a book of life. There's a whole lot of living that happens on the blockchain.
Yeah, it's so cool to talk about this with people. And then there are some times where, you know, if anyone has gotten this far into the episode and doesn't understand what we're talking about, there is, you know, a story where it's funny. George told me, he said that he was talking to a friend who, you know, telling him about the podcast, telling him how I'm doing Bitcoin stuff. And he goes, yeah, I had a friend one time or somebody that I met that started telling me about Bitcoin, and they got so into it, they started telling me about Jesus and being the second coming and stuff like that. And he goes, I got so freaked out.
Might have been talking to me.
Who knows? But he lives in Chicago. But I just think that sometimes when people aren't, when they haven't understood it, you're like info dumping all the information on a person that has no clue what you're talking about, and it can scare some people.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're talking to somebody who gets it, like, you understand what they're talking about. Like, you know why they're thinking these things, and it makes 100% sense. And, you know, there's other things, like when you talk to, I've talked to pastors who are taking Bitcoin now. Why wouldn't a church take Bitcoin that's pure and truth? And if you think God is truth and the devil is deceit and lies, isn't that fiat? And you're taking dirty fiat in a church that right. It's constantly manipulated.
Like,
and your
dollars in themselves are blasphemous because they got written on them in God We Trust. And you know that that's the Federal Reserve is talking about themselves. They consider themselves God in the dollar bill We Trust.
Yes, it's literally blasphemy right on the dollar, and they're destroying it right in front of your eyes and convincing you like the devil would, or, you know, deceit and all that stuff. So it's like, to me, it's making the connections of, hey, if any church thinks that, oh, Bitcoin sounds like this New World Order type thing or has these crazy ideas, I'm like, you're using the literally the blasphemous money. Like, the Bitcoin is just truth. You know, there's no lies in Bitcoin. You know, it's... So it's just crazy to think of those things. But there are some churches who are, you know, like Pastor Ben Haley, who is doing a Bitcoin reserve for his church. And it's nice to see that some people have an open mind about it. And, you know, I think you're right. The people even, okay, not to get, you know, too much into it, but even thinking about how you said preordained to find out about this and not just lucky. The saying there, again, I'm not good at quotes, but like, those with ears, let them hear. You know, my sheep will follow, or like something about like being a shepherd and guiding you to the right thing. Like, we will hear like people will hear the voice and know that it's truth.
Right.
Or, you know, the people with ears, let them hear, like they hear it.
That's why I have the conviction that I have, is because it is truth. Like, I can't hack Bitcoin. I can't change the blockchain unless I do it the correct way. I come there honestly. I do an honest transaction. It gets broadcast. The nodes recognize it. But the moment I come in and try to lie, cheat, steal, the program itself sends me to hell. So get out of here. We're not going to play your game. Only good. Only the good gets to happen. And
like, even the things in the, like, some other, there's like a couple things like about, you know, harvesting, or like watching things grow, or like the proof of work, and, you know, waiting for things to bloom, or
Bitcoin.
And then even do not store your treasures where moth and rust can destroy, like those types of things. It's like, people value and cherish physical things that will just be destroyed, and there's just so many parallels to why, you know, why people make these connections. So it's just great. I love hearing you talk about that. And I love hearing you talk about the blasphemy of money, because it is. I always thought that. And,
I
you
mean,
know,
how many times has someone rolled up a Bitcoin to snort coke?
Right. That's so true. It's literally disgusting. You know, it's like thinking about how dirty, like, George has always been, like, you know, like clean, you know, he doesn't like being gross about things. Like, he's always a hand washer. So anytime someone touches money, he's like, go wash your hands. That's filthy, you know? So I always think of it that way too. It's just dirty.
I mean, who was it? Someone on X had posted something about their dog ate one of the Christmas cards. So there's a $100 bill that ended up coming out the other end of a dog. And it's like, y'all washed that thing off and put it back in circulation, didn't you?
Yeah.
Right? I don't want that in my pocket. I don't want that in my hand.
Think about that.
Nasty.
But no.
Why not, though? Because it's worth $100, so I can't just throw it away.
Right.
And you give it to the bank, be like, hey, my dog ate this. It's kind of chewed up a bit, but all the pieces are here, and it smells like shit. And what are they going to do? Oh, here's a new crisp one. And they'll probably just, like, the next person at the window be like, here you go, here's your change that you just need. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this?
Yeah, that's so disgusting. Oh my gosh. This has been so incredible. I really appreciate you talking about your trip with me. I feel so lucky to be the first person to talk to you since you got back. I'm really happy that you went there and that you had a great time. And I don't know, I'm just so happy for you that you found this place that you want to go back to and hopefully stay there.
Right. Like, I'm just happy that I did it because I now have something like another goal. Like, I'm a very, if you have goal and you have purpose, and therefore it gives you somewhere to drive your life towards. If you have no goals and no purposes, you're just running in circles, crashing into anything that crosses your circle. And I've kind of been that life of, like, I don't know where I'm going, I'm just doing things and it's a fucking wreck. And now I have a direction, a goal, a purpose. And it's going to help me do things. Like, I was trying to get rid of a gun right before the stream, and some butthead thought that he was going to give me $200 for a $1,000 gun. So I told him, put it where the sun don't shine. You ain't on that. But I've got things that are going to be happening. I'm going to start liquidating around here, and using my extra fundage is going to go into Bitcoin. Yeah, then when I get back to El Salvador and the customs lady said, do you have more than $10,000 worth of stuff you need to claim? Nope.
I love it. That's so amazing. I'm so looking forward to it. And then when we come visit one day, we can hang out in El Salvador instead of in Chicago or something.
I can be your tour guide because I went with Sergio. He makes BitcoinCaps.net. He makes the Naibu Kelly hats and Max Kaiser's hats. He was originally El Salvadoran, moved to Miami, but he travels back and forth often. And he was my tour guide, and he did a wonderful job. Took us through the Centro Historico District. Was basically taking us across the country and showing us and telling us different things. Showed us, like, some of the best places to eat. Buenos Aires a Taco, I believe is the name of it. Anybody who goes to El Salvador, it's... Buenos Aires a Taco is a place where you go to eat, and the scenery is, like, just off the charts beautiful.
Amazing.
Like, so good. So good. Yeah.
That's amazing. We are going to write that stuff down, or we'll reach out to you next time we go there too. So,
ask
you know,
me, I'll tell
keep
you,
a
yeah.
list because people are going to be asking you where to go and what to do out there.
You can run in my shoes, and I'll be back out there to collect more things because I obviously didn't get to do everything, but I will. I mean, when I'm living there, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want. And I didn't get to go on my volcano hike. I wanted to do push-ups on the side of a volcano. I never got to touch the foot of a volcano. I never went on a trail because I never had the time to. So I will be going back, and I will have more time, and all these things will happen. So eventually, I'll be your tour guide.
That's amazing. We could even do, like, a possible meetup there one day so more people can come visit too and see how great it is.
El Salvador Bitcoin meetup.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Have a great day. It was so nice talking to you.
And
I can't wait to post this. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. That was awesome.